Yes, Barry, why don't you take us through your day, if you would?
Is that enough excitement for you?
Yeah. All right. We'll start at the beginning, shall we? We went off at the start, and I don't know, it was like we weren't as good as yesterday from the start. I felt there was on the first start, the Pepsi guys got by, then the Ganassi guys teamed up and got past. And I was really struggling with the balance of the car, so I just sat there saving fuel. Then as the stint went on, the car got quite good. I thought, we're okay here. But then they were running 2x2 in front of me, and I really had nowhere to go. So the only sensible thing to do was to save fuel. So I saved fuel and I went longer, I think on the second stop. But I've been saving fuel all day, really. And that was the situation. All day, I was kind of stuck behind those four cars. I lost the draft at one point, and I was really pedaling as hard as I could. I was gaining slightly, maybe. Then we stretched the window in that lap. I think it was the last stop, or the second last, as it turned out. And the yellow came out just then for Vitor's crash, and I thought, oh, this. I was trying to haul to get round and put Scott a lap down. But then Milka got in the way, and you know, she was, I don't know what the heck she was doing, but she got in the way and stopped me putting Scott a lap down. So I wasn't too amused at that point. Then Scott and I were, I guess, at the back of the line, and so we both pitted to top off. We went off on the restart, then we got cycled round. We went off on the restart, and so those Penske cars were quick. They came back through, and I was trying to make a fuel number, and I couldn't make it without really far back in the pack. So yet again, I'm stuck with two Penske, two Ganassis in front of me. I knew that some of them were going to have to pit, and I knew fuel was critical. John Anderson was just telling me on the radio, fuel's critical, you guys, fuel's critical. So I was saving as much as I could while hanging on, and there's Danica in the background, really trying to, you know, she's getting alongside, but she's trying to help. She was trying to get in the best position as she could to help. And then eventually, that last yellow came out, and I saw Dan parked on the turn three. He ran out of fuel to start finish, I guess, and I saw him parked in turn three, and I thought, oh, this is great. This just gives, Scott what he needs. And I came around the corner and saw Danica spun, and I was like, okay. So that set it up for the finish. I got a good restart, got a run on Scott, but I couldn't make anything happen around the outside. Coming down that last lap, I knew what I had to do, and I drafted him out of two as well as I could, and just pulled out going into three. And just as I pulled out, I saw his car twitch, and I think with him running out of fuel, losing the drive, he shot up the track, so I had to avoid him, and went a lot higher than I would have liked. Once I collected that, I knew that the race and the championship were ours, and kind of went crazy from there to the finish line. That was it.
Questions for Dario? Bruce?
Last 5-6 weeks, you've had basically every possible obstacle, distraction, whatever you want to call it. I mean, you know, issues with Michael, you know, issues with other things. And it just seems like you were bulletproof and impervious to that. Just how tough was that?
Bruce, that wasn't a factor. Honestly, that stuff was not a factor. For me, the biggest mental challenge of this year was jumping in the car in Kentucky, having just flipped the thing 5 days earlier in Michigan. And that first session, I think we're actually quickest in that first session in Kentucky, and we're running side by side with Dan again. And to get over that barrier, then I thought, well, if I can do that, I should be okay with anything that's thrown at me. And it worked out well.
Dave?
Darren, it looked like after the race when you had to park down there in three or wherever they staged, you got out and kind of walked around the back of the car, maybe, I don't know if you knelt down or whatever. Was that sort of a catch your breath, figure out what's going on moment? What was going on? What were you doing and what was going on in your head?
At that point, there was a lot of stuff going on in my head, really, thinking about a lot of different things, a lot of different people. And on a lighter note, talking to the safety crew, I said, hey, it's good to see you guys, that the car is actually the right way around and it's got four wheels on it today. And they were saying, hey, how'd you like this car compared to Kentucky or Michigan? I said, well, this is actually the Kentucky car. And they were amazed at that. So, but that was just a point to, you know, to take stock a little minute there and think of what we'd achieved. And as
as I say, think about a lot of different people and things, and it was nice to have that minute to just kind of compose myself.
So people such as?
A lot of different people. I don't want to get into detail. You know, a lot of personal stuff.
Mike? Dario, congratulations.
Thanks, Mike.
During this race, it wasn't a great race for you most of the way. You had a lot of problems getting by people, and you had handling problems from what you were saying and so forth. I mean, what were you thinking about during the race other than, you know, I mean, did the championship go much through your thoughts during it, or were you too busy to think about that?
I was very calm in the car all day, which is, you know, sometimes I kind of get a little bit caught under the collar, and you know, other days I'm calm about it, but today I was calm, and I knew that I couldn't, as hard as I was trying, I couldn't really make anything happen because of the way the guys in front were positioned in their cars. And I knew the one thing I could do was save fuel at that point. And, you know, John Anderson and Alan McDonald and Dave Seifert were working magic in the pits. And that's, you know, they did to a certain extent. But I think, it's cool that it came down to just Scott and I. That there was something about that. You know, we said all year that it's going to be, even with a 65-point lead, I kept saying it's going to be close, it's going to be close. And here it comes down to Scott and I, last corner, last lap. That pretty much sums up the year.
Hey, Shane.
Scott said it was iffy on fuel, even after the restart, whether he'd make it. How confident were you that you had enough to make it?
Well, here's the thing. They were telling me, oh, it's close on fuel. But I didn't get a fuel pressure alarm until I drove the thing up onto the podium. And I'd done a lap, an extra lap, some burnouts and some kind of stuff, and restarted the thing. So I think we were okay. We're certainly in better condition than Scott was, I think.
Bruce?
Dario, this year you win the Indianapolis 500, you win the IndyCar title. Can you now walk away and say I've accomplished everything I've done in my IndyCar career that I wanted to do?
You know, those are two of the goals that I definitely set myself a long time ago when I came over here. I set myself a goal to win every race, obviously. And then when I came over to the IndyCar series, the Indy 500 was the big goal, and the championship. So to accomplish both those is massive. One thing, you know, I was sitting there this morning thinking about what I had to do today. And the most important thing for me was that I drove a good race, and I gave 100%, and I did my guys proud. You know what I mean? I did the job my guys want me to do. That was more important to me today than the result. And you know, I think I did that. I tried as hard as I could, and I did. But that was more important. So I wonder. I don't know if that's because I won the 500 and it took some pressure off. But that was the thoughts going into the race. My guys have worked so hard this year, and they continue to, and my teammates do. And they helped me so much, and the whole team. And I just wanted to go out there and do a good job for them, as well as myself.
Kirk?
Do you remember what your exact reaction was when you saw Dixon's car twitch, in that quick second, what your reaction was?
Yeah. My first thing was trying to avoid him, because he moved quite a way up the track with that twitch. And my first thing was just collecting the car. Once I collected the car, from then to the finish line, there's a lot of screaming on the radio and fist pumping, and you know, the guy, my spotter Dave and Ando and myself, we're all talking on the radio at the same time, so probably all anybody actually heard was a bunch of static.
You also said that collecting yourself after the Michigan flip was a big step of getting back in the car at Kentucky. Can you talk about what it would have been like after Kentucky? Then it happened twice, and I saw you after the race, and you were, I still think you were pretty rattled there, more so even than Michigan.
Yeah, I think the Kentucky one really, again, was like, ooh, you know, twice in 5 days. That was kind of crazy. But I got in the car again at Sonoma, which was nice. It was a test in Sonoma, so it was nice. It was a road course. And went out there, I think within 3 or 4 laps, we were bang on the pace. That was as long as it took to get heat in the tires. So that kind of settled it down. And I wouldn't say got my confidence back, but just relaxed me, I guess.
Patrick?
Is the feeling now one of relief or one of happiness, or do you kind of waver back and forth?
Yeah, a bit of both. You hit that right. A bit of both. Definitely relief, and
very happy. Happier than I thought I would be. I thought the Indy 500, you know, with winning that, that was such a great feeling in the form. But this is a, it's different, but I think because it's the whole year rolled into one, it means a hell of a lot.
Tom? Dario, as you look back at this season from the beginning, where do you think this championship season began for you?
I think at the first race, you know, we were running very well the first race, and then I ran over somebody's drive shaft under yellow, which was obviously night racing. We soldiered on to a seventh place finish. And the next week, we running well at St. Pete. Tony and I got together at the first corner, and we almost went two laps down, and the guys rebuilt the front of the car in that period, and I thought, and a lot of you guys on the team, a couple of guys the same, but a lot of you guys on the 2017 this year, and I just looked at them and I thought, you know, these guys don't give up. And we almost went two laps down. We lost our brakes after 50 laps of a 100 lap race, but yet we're able to sit there. And that's when it really, you know, I got a lot of confidence in them, and I thought we could make something happen, and the results kept getting better and better, obviously culminating with that win at Indy. Then we got on that run that we did, and then the sort of consistency part took over, and then the madness of August with the flips and Sonoma and the Detroit last week. So it's been quite a year.
John?
Great, thanks. Congratulations. A couple quick ones. First, how much did it hurt to lose TK as your drafting partner early in the race? And then can you just kind of say what you were thinking when you lost touch and dropped a couple seconds behind the pack there sort of midway through the race?
Thanks, John. Yeah, when I saw it, they told me TK had a flat or something, I thought, this is going to be tough now. Because I felt yesterday we had the cards to run up front on our own, and I saw today that we didn't really, and those guys were really working in pairs, and, you know, full marks to the Penske guys and the Ganassi guys. They did a fantastic job of working as teammates today. And, you know, I don't think anybody does it better than maybe Tony and I. And he wasn't there, so I... And then Danica, Marco, first of all, tried to come up there and do it, and then had that almighty crash behind me. So I hear he's okay, which is good. I thought he was fine because I saw him getting out of the car after a while. But they say now he's good, which is a big relief. And then Danica was there helping me out too. But, you know, in the end it came down to Scott and I.
Back in the room. Terry, I understand you don't want to talk about next year, but at least in the terms of the NASCAR thing, what is it about over there that would make you even consider it at this point?
You know, again, I'm not going to talk about next year. I'm going to enjoy having won this championship today. I will think about the decision to be made about next year, next week or the week after. But right now, I'm going to have a good time tonight and celebrate winning this IndyCar championship.
Bruce?
You joined Jim Clark this year as a Scotsman to win the Indianapolis 500. Now you've kind of gone one up. You're the first Scotsman to win the IndyCar title. Talk a little bit about that, what it kind of means, you know, from your homeland and how they've reacted to it and everything. And, you know, as far as Dan Weldon from England won 2 years ago. So just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, I don't think if I was on this earth for five lifetimes, I could never one up Jim Clark. He's my hero. On that, Joey Chitwood came up today and gave me a pin from one of the badges to get in the pit lane from 1965. And the numbers, the serial number, it was 1127, which I thought was pretty cool. But I don't know what the reaction will be back home. It was a big reaction to the 500 win. And I hope, I enjoy when people appreciate when we do a good job, but... The main reason I do it because I enjoy it, not because of, you know, what people write or think.
Mike?
Yeah. Dario, do you know the term snake bit? You know what that means?
What does it mean, Mike?
The American term means that you feel like the world is against you and no matter what you do, it's going to go wrong. Did you ever get to feeling that way with the way things have gone in the last month leading up till now?
No, not really. I've had a kind of a strange career so far in America because there have been some days of, you know, good luck and great luck, and the Indy 500 this year, I think, there was definitely some things went our way. I mean, there's sometimes, if I could sit here and talk about the races that I could have, would have, should have won, but this went wrong, that went wrong, I'd be here for a long time. And there was a couple of those races recently. You look at Michigan, Kentucky, Sonoma, Detroit last week, where I think in all four races we had the fastest car. Maybe not Sonoma, but we led the most laps in Sonoma. And we didn't get it, you know, we had all these things go wrong. Some of our own making, which Kentucky was I believe, of my own making. Some not. So snake bit now.
Dave?
Indy and today are the big ones. Monday after Indianapolis, you said you couldn't wait to get back in the car, get back to racing after that. What about now? What about tomorrow? Is there a hole?
I could do with a day off right now. It's been a long season. I could do with it. We do with a bit of a rest right now. It's been a tough year. So I'm looking forward to going home with Ashley and hanging out.
Tom?
Eventually.
Dario, right after Indy, I asked you, would you apply any of those funds to buying a new helicopter? You said, no, you've got the one you want. But you've got more funds in the war chest now. Is there anything you're thinking about with the money?
As one of my friends put it, what car are you going to buy now up on the podium? And there's always those cars that I sort of think about. But I don't know. We'll see.
Patrick?
Dario, is it more satisfying because the way the summer unfolded with, I think when we had 3 weekends off and you went all the different kinds of circuits, that grind actually make it more satisfying when you accomplish this?
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons this championship means so much to me, is the fact that it was all those different tracks this year, and each one requires something completely different. You have to go from Detroit to here. I can't think of 2 different tracks. And so to do that, that's one of the reasons. Really, and I think that the direction the series has been taken and going to different types of tracks, you know, short oval, 1.5 milers, super speed, you know, big tracks, street courses, road courses, that makes it more difficult and to kind of do a good job on all of those. It leaves me and definitely my guys with a sense of satisfaction, a big smile on our faces.
Bruce?
You and Scott obviously have a lot of respect for each other. You know, you both treat each other with a lot of class. Your goal today was to come out on top ahead of him, but can you empathize with how tormented it must be for him to lose it the way he lost it by running out of fuel like that?
When I lost the championship in 1999, I lost my best friend the same day, and so I don't really have many thoughts about losing the championship, you know, that closely. I don't, it doesn't really register with me. But you know, I appreciate the challenge that Scott and his team gave us all year, and that they were tough. They really were tough. It's again, that's another reason when you beat competition of that nature. When you look at the people, you know, the people that you've had to beat on the way to doing this, that gives me satisfaction, knowing that I've done a good job, my team have done a good job. But yeah, Scott and I have a lot of respect for Scott, and we got on really, really well.
Mike?
Dario, congratulations. Maybe it'll be easier for you to answer this since he's not here, but you talked about Greg there for a second, but you and TK have a relationship that I think is difficult for us to understand. You helped him in 04. He helped you this year. Help us understand that relationship.
I don't know if I can, Mike. You know, I've had been close to some teammates before, Bernschneider when I was doing DTM, for instance. But the relationship with Tony has taken on, you know, we were best friends when we became teammates, and sometimes that can be a recipe for disaster. It really can, you know. Main competition, and we just went about things the right way. We're like, look, I want to beat you, you want to beat me. We know that. But let's work together towards that. And if you get in a position, I'll help you, and vice versa. And we've just done that from the start of this team, when Team Green became Andretti Green. And, you know, you watch Brian Herta was another example of that. Brian was actually on the phone on the podium. It's quite funny, he called me. So that was great. And you watch Marco and Danica now, and they get it. They really get it. And so, but TK and I don't know.
he's a very, very special person. And I always said about TK, he can be the most selfish person you've ever met, or the most giving person you've ever met. He's a guy of extremes, and he's my best friend. And you know, when we're old and retired, or we're old anyway, in racing terms, but when we're retired and we're sitting at home, we'll still be good friends.
All right, Dario, we appreciate your time. Congratulations.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for everything.